Blog Talk Radio.
The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened to your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I the Lord have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord.
Israel, he took me out of darkness and put me in his marvelous light. And if you could relate to that, this song's for you.
Every time I think about all he's done, how he changed my life and made it so much better, I'm just in awe. It's so amazing, yeah, yeah. Many times I was down on my knees crying, looking for the answer, but I couldn't find it at all, yeah. But he always came on time and made it right. cause it didn't have to ruin, but it did. He's been faithful, yeah.
Shalom, 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 family, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, I'm your host, I'm your friend, as well as your servant, Sister Georgia. Welcome, lost sheep of the house of Israel. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our lesson. We're going to have a quick lesson today, family. I'm trying to do these little mini lessons, I call them, because we have to go over parts of Scripture that people keep making mistakes in. Today's lesson we're titling Giants and Serpent Seed, Before and After the Flood. Now, the reason why the Father gave me this one was I went on Facebook and I saw something that was posted, and it was so incorrect because that's not what the Scripture reads. It's just that when we look at things in the physical, out of the flesh, and not operate in the spirit, it will lead us to error. It will lead us to error. When we go into 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, talking about the three powers of authority, if you're looking in the flesh, you'll read four powers of authority. But if you're operating at the spirit, there's only three. And what is acceptable to our Father is spiritual, not of the flesh. That's all throughout the Scripture. So we have to come as children, ready to learn the truth of our Father's word spiritually. And for this particular lesson, the giants and the serpent seed, before and after the flood, this is just going to keep piggybacking off Genesis. We did the lesson last Friday talking about the two creations, one of day six of the male and female, which is mankind. Then we went into the seventh day, the Shabbat, the set apart, created image like unto Yahushua, our creator, and it was in the image, which is a vessel, but it was given a set apart spirit, making it different from the image of the male and female that was created on day six. So we talked about that, and I pray everyone had a chance to listen to that lesson. I pray that everyone is going back and taking time to ask the Father to lead and guide you as we go through these scriptures to get the truth. Because, see, this has been hidden from our people, but you're supposed to know. If you don't know this, you have leaven. And we are not supposed to keep any leaven within our temple, within our house, within our vessel, within our image. Because we are the image of our Father, our Creator. All right, family. I welcome everybody today, and I pray, like I said, that you're willing to read, open up your Bibles, read with me. I'm going to give a lot of understanding. I'm going to be doing precepts. I'll probably refer you to other lessons because I want to keep the lesson moving. But nonetheless, if you come to this lesson, you're going to get more clarity on what Scripture says concerning our history. So everyone, if you would raise your hands with me, let's just give thanks and praise to our Father, Yahuwah. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and just want to honor you, Father. We want to give you our spiritual praise and spiritual thanksgiving. Father, your children who were scattered across the four corners of the earth, who come to you spiritual to hear your word and get your understanding, we thank you and we praise you for Yahushua, who died for our sins. As a nation, we are healed, and we are able to come into the truth of your word by the set-apart spirit, the dry bones waking up. The comforter is now amongst us. Father, we thank you for our brothers and our sisters who spiritually we're all together and we're seeking your face. We thank you for the long-suffering, Father, that you have given our nation and the love that you have shown our people and favor. Father, we just ask for a blessing over your word, over the understanding, whereby even if those come by for the first time who have scales on their eyes, who would be known as Gentiles or lost sheep according to the word of your children, the spiritual ones who may not have always operated out the spirit, Father, but that by your word spoken through Yahushua, that we are able to come to your truth, that their scales may be removed and they may hear your truth spoken. We understand there's a famine in the land, Father, but we pray for all our brothers and sisters out there who are supposed to be awoken at this time, that they may hear the truth of your word and come into your understanding, not the understanding of flesh or man. Father, we ask that all those who are going through tribulation, Father, that you continue to let them know that you are there for them. Let them know that they are never alone because you're residing within us. Father, give them comfort when it seems like the whole world's against them. Get them out of the depression when the world has taught them failure. When all the enemies try to attack us on financial, on spiritual levels, on educational levels. Father, we ask that through the set of our spirit, we can break and bind every stronghold that is against our people, whereby there is no connection of the world to us, only the set-apart spirit which we will operate out of as we seek your face. Father, we thank you and we praise you just for all that you do. Father, we ask for the set-apart spirit to flow as I go through your word. Let it be all of you, Father, and none of me. Father, when we do this, we know all praise and honor must be given back to you. And we just thank you for your mercy and your grace that you've shown to us. We love you, Father. In Yahushua's set-apart name, we pray. And we just thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, family, we're going to get started. Giants and the serpent seed before and after the flood. Now, I gave everybody on the chat line a link, okay, to you can read any version of the Bible that you would like. I read the KJV, but I gave you a link. Those at home, just go ahead and open up. I'll tell you where I'm reading from, okay? A lot of this is going to be precepts. A lot of this is going to be spiritual understanding. A lot of this, you may have heard these precepts, but someone has explained them to you differently because they're operating out the flesh instead of the spirit. But we operate out the spirit, so don't think because you've never heard this before that it's an error. It's just that you have been a child of the flesh. And our Father wants us all to be of the spirit. So you seek him if you don't get it. If you don't get what I'm saying, seek our Heavenly Father. Seek his truth, because his truth is all spiritual, and it's the word. Okay, so what I'm going to do first, I want to go off the beginning of the lesson, just by reading a little bit. Matthew 13 said a lot, family. And I want to take you there before I even get started. So I ask everyone to please open up to Matthew 13. I'm going to begin in verse 1. And I'm going to explain as I read this to you. Now, we know that Yahushua had lots to say to our people when he was walking upon this earth. He came for his people. He was spraying out of the tribe of Judah. So he was from the southern kingdom, specifically from the tribe of Judah. But he also said, I came but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we know Israel was the northern kingdom, and Judah was the southern kingdom after the split under King Solomon. The two nations, or two kingdoms rather, never got back together. It was only until Yahushua's death, burial, and resurrection that we were healed as a nation, and we hear about the engrafting in. If you're spiritual, you might not have a problem with this, but if you're of the flesh, you will say, well, it's all the other nations that get to come in. But you see, if you're operating out the flesh, you're not going to get the Father's word. Simple things like this, family, you're supposed to know. So let's read Matthew 13, because these are parables for those who have ears to hear. And all the people who are the fathers, he says, all Israel will be saved. But it's important for you to know that all Israel is not of Israel. So if you have ears to hear and eyes to see and a mind for understanding, if you're operating out the Spirit, this lesson is for you. Matthew 13, verse 1. The same day went Yahushua out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among, mine's didn't even show up. Hold up a second, family. They did something. Hold up a second. Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's what I thought. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I just read Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9, because this is speaking about our people. This is speaking about our people, what kind of condition they're in. It tells us that when he's speaking of this sow, this seed, we already explained that the seed is the spirit. Many people just don't operate out the spirit. Many people operate out the flesh. But if you are founded in the spirit, you have to be. Because that's no flesh and blood is going to enter into that kingdom. But if you are founded by the spirit, you won't be the one that doesn't have good root, or the enemy just stole away from you the little that you had. We're going to go through understanding, but I'm just trying to show you something. When you go to the parable of the sower, just know that it's talking about your understanding. What happened to our people? You got to be founded in good foundation, which is the truth, and it's spiritual. I want to keep it rolling. Let's go to verse 10 of Matthew 13. It tells us, and the disciples came unto him and said, they came to Yahushua, because he had just given these parables, right, family? They said unto Yahushua, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Verse 14, please follow along, family. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saideth, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not. And my words, I don't know why they put some perceived. That's it. I gotta highlight some of this. I just noticed that everything is in the same color as the background, so I don't know what these words are. I want to make sure I give them to you right. So have patience with me, family. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. verse 16. Remember, he came for the healing of the nation. Remember this. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. And he's talking to the remnant. And your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, this is your understanding, because we're going to read the Father's word. This is your understanding, okay? And I pray that you hear and you have understanding, okay? When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it, if not, then come the wicked one. If you don't get understanding from the words that are coming out of my mouth just by reading the Father's word through the set-apart spirit, this is for you. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then come the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. He's glad he received it. Yet hath he not root in himself. He wasn't founded on good foundation. Every wind of doctrine and everything that come by, something wasn't right with this one. He heard the truth. The truth was heard because it was read. So it tells us, this one right here, it said in verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, and you better know who's giving you the tribulation and the persecution because of the word. Okay? We're talking about serpent seed here. Pay attention. It says, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Somebody opens up a book, the same book we open up and read, but they will give you a different understanding. They will give you tribulation. They will give you problems. They will take away your joy. They will persecute you because of the word. Okay? And by, when people listen to people who are not supposed to be teaching, and they say that the Father sent them, and they'll claim the Father and the Son, and they'll do all these things, but what really proceedeth from their spirit, their mouth, totally against the Father's word, because it's perverse from what the Father's telling you. They're teaching you flesh when you ought to be learning spirit. It tells us, by and by, the person who hears it, he becomes offended, because he's not hearing the truth. He's hearing the craziness in the world, the lies of the world. Let's go a little further. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. That's somebody who lives of the world. These are all flesh thinkers. The children of the flesh war against the children of the spirit. When we did the two creations, we allowed you to see and have the understanding that it said that we were made in the image of our Father. The whole point is, what is in the image, in the body, in the vessel? Because the word image means empty. It's a vessel, though. Well, if it doesn't distinguish, like Genesis chapter 2, which lets you know that the set-apart spirit was given to Adam and Eve, if it does not distinguish that, you're not of the Father's, but you're also of the flesh. You're an empty vessel. You will not be able to perceive what I'm speaking about, because there is no spirit dwelling in you to receive it. I know that sounds harsh, but it's the truth. Let me go back. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, I'm at verse 20, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seeds among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit and bring forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Because depending on what your foundation is, if your foundation is of the physical, of the flesh, and if you're one of these people where you're not founded in good foundation, which is the word of the Spirit, okay, you are going to be taken away with every wind of doctrine. Before you even have a chance to hear the truth, you have serpent seeds on the corners blowing in, with blowhorns, telling people perverse things that are not in Scripture. Some hear the word, but then they go and another wind of doctrine, which is not of our Father, comes and deceives them. Other people get into the word, but then they get into what you see these prosperity teachers doing, and it's about making a gain of the Father's word, and they're taken away. And then we have those who listen to any teacher who is not teaching of the Spirit, who is not teaching of the two approved assemblies or churches and revelations which teach the serpent seed. And when they finally do hear that, they become offended because they only know love thy brother because it's in a physical flesh word. You're supposed to pray for them. Well, you don't understand who your true brother is because you're not understanding what took place in Scripture. You don't understand that you can't bring the Goyim or the giants or the nations within the kingdom. It's not there for them. They have no spirit. They cannot enter in. All this becomes offensive to you. I pray that everyone is ready to operate out the Spirit, not because I say, because our Father says. And let's read with understanding our Father's word and get the true understanding of the giants and the serpent seed before and after the flood. All right, family, we're going to continue to move forward. I did not put my notes in any specific order because I'm going to really be just flowing out the Spirit today, okay? And I'm going to be giving you where you need to read from because I want you to write it down and you go read that yourself. And make sure that you're following. This lesson should also follow with the predestination lesson we did, which if you go on our Blog Talk website, you'll see it as the featured video. It also should go into the first two creations that we just did last Friday. And you should be up to speed with a lot of the things that we're speaking of. So I ask everybody, just remember that the six-day creation of day six represented the nations, okay, because it was male and female, okay? That's mankind. That's not man. That's mankind. And that one did not have a set-apart spirit given to it. That one was of the flesh, and that one was told to multiply. Okay? That one was created after the animals. When you get to the image that was in the image of our Creator, which was Yahushua, according to John 1, because he was the Spirit and the Word. The Word was not put in him. He was the Word. So when you get the understanding that this one here, he created the earth, he created this, the Father allowed him to do it because everything was for him. The Father wanted it to be for Yahushua. We are Yahushua's bride. We are Yahushua's bride, and we're in the image of Yahushua, and Yahushua is in the image of his Father, Yahuwah. And we're all spirit. We three are one. So when you understand, I just want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. Adam and Eve represents the set-apart chosen people of the Most High, and that is your seventh-day creation. Or shall I say, excuse me, yeah, it's the seventh or the Shabbat day in Genesis 2. Okay? You got to get that understanding. Now, what separates these two totally opposite creations? Father, Yahuwah. That's the only thing that separates us in the image of our Creator from the image of whatever was created in Genesis chapter 1, said male and female. They were never given that set-apart spirit. And that's the same set-apart spirit we can read about throughout the entire Scripture. But that's what made us sons of the Most High, because we're spirit. We're spirit. And we're enclosed in an image or a vessel or cloaks of skin. That's our earthly vessel, but that's nothing. It's only you. Everything counts by what's inside of that vessel. Let's keep going, family. I want to make sure everybody's understanding that spirits were given to this certain image. Now, and that's the only thing that separated us. We can't look at, I know there's a lot of people coming out there with some weird stuff, and I mean, it's really weird, but it doesn't align with Scripture. The truth is, everybody got flesh right now, everyone who's on this earth. But the flesh is not important if you have a spirit that makes you the Father's. That's all you got to know. That's all you got to know. So when we go back to Genesis 3, we read about another created being. We haven't covered this one yet. This created being, which crept in unawares, known as the seed of the serpent, that you read about in Genesis 3 and 4, this one, if it were not for the set-apart spirit guiding me to reveal this wisdom, many would not have caught this. And I'm going to show you what I mean, family. I'm going to show you what I mean. I think I'll take you there next. I want to go ahead and take you guys somewhere first to get that general understanding. I use certain words because as I continue with the lesson, I'll use those words again, and I'll bring it back to your attention. What crept in unawares? That's, you know, people probably would not term what happened with Cain being born and understanding when we say serpent seed. We're not speaking of an actual serpent. The seed we're speaking about is a spirit, but this spirit did not come from our Father. This one crept in unawares. That's why I want to take you to the parable of the wheat and tare before I even go to the creation of Cain, because this way you might understand it better. I want to make sure that everybody is getting that head up. They understand what took place. Okay, let's go ahead, family, and go to Matthew 13. I'm going to read verses 24 to, well, maybe 58. We'll see how far I need to go. But this is going to give you understanding when people say, well, the serpent seed or Cain, he was serpent seed. And when we go to the book of John, when Yahushua said, ye are of your father the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. We know that Cain slew his brother. We know that it gives you the lineage of the serpent seed that has been with Israel, looking like Israel the entire time. But many people don't understand, because when you look at the serpent seed before the flood, you're trying to think, well, how did it get in after? How did the giants get in? How did they make it across the flood? Well, if you think of a physical, you'll come up with all kind of ideals that they went underground, which I thought at one time before the Father revealed to me, or that only half the world had water on it. You know, you come up with some crazy things. But the truth of it is, we're going to find out it came by way like any other person born on this earth. It was the spirit that was not sent from above. It came another direction. It crept in another way. Let me just take you to Matthew 13. We'll read verses 24, beginning at 24, and I'll just keep going until I need to stop. Understand, we're talking spiritual. Put on your spiritual thinking caps, okay? Now, Yahushua, this is our future king. He lets us know this parable. But then again, this is only made for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see and a mind for understanding this. If you're not operating on the, out of the spirit, you could forget it. You're not going to get this. We're getting ready to go into the birth of Cain. Why was he not Adam's true son? Or shall I say, why was he not one of the sons of the Most High? Let's go to Matthew 13, verses 24 and through 58, possibly. Let's get some understanding, because this is a parable, and many have not received the truth of this parable, but let's go there. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, now Yahushua was getting ready to talk about it. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. It's letting you know, if the wheat are the Hebrews, you eventually find out who this enemy is. They tell you it's Satan or the devil. But he planted a seed. He planted a seed. Now, we know that it, well, let me just read it. I want to read it because I want to make sure you get it. Let me pick back up at verse 26. I'm going to just read it, and I'm keep my mouth closed, because I'm praying that y'all get this. But remember, we're talking something spiritual that happened. The wheat are the Hebrews. You could say the wheat was Adam and Eve. And every other Hebrew could be Rebecca and Isaac. Okay? The wheat could be, and the tares could be their children. It could be Noah and his children. One is a wheat, one's a tare. This parable is speaking about how in the Hebrew congregation and the family, why is it when you get to New Covenant, the Yahushua says that he's coming to separate in the family? Why is he coming to separate in the family? Well, you're going to get the understanding right here in the parable of the wheat and tare. Verse, I'm going to pick it back up at 24. This is the parable of the wheat and tare. It's going to tell you spiritual understanding. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Okay, family, I'm going to go a little further because he's going to give you an explanation of this. In verse 31, it says, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge into the branches thereof. Verse 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And all these things spake Yahushua unto the multitudes in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Yahushua sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. This will give you the understanding of what happened among the Hebrew. This is why you have tares everywhere. This is why you have some that do not have the spirit. This is why someone, their father could be the devil, even though they came from a Hebrew man and woman. Let's pay attention to what he says. Verse 37. Yahushua answered and said unto them, his disciples, who want to know, please explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He says, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whom hath ears to hear, let him hear. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and the sever the wicked from among the just. Now remember, we're talking about children of the flesh versus children of the spirit. And we're speaking of Israel. But all Israel's not of Israel. I pray you have an ear to hear. We're talking about the serpent seed versus the Israelites. We're talking about Revelations 2:9 and 3:9. The two approved teachings of the assemblies in Revelations. They told you the truth about this, and they were approved of the Most High. So it says, so shall it be at the end of this world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Yahushua said unto them, have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, yea, Yahushua. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. You know what he's talking about, family. We're talking about a scribe keeps history of the books, the truth. And it came to pass that when Yahushua had finished these parables, he departed thence. Now, let me go a little further because I didn't want to bring something else out in here. Let me just keep going with it. We're talking about the truth. That household is speaking the truth, and it was the truth of the Father's word. He was a scribe. But the scribes that we have now, when you go to the New Covenant, they weren't sent from the Most High. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were sitting in Moses' seat, a seat that they had wanted to receive and get into from the very beginning. They wanted to be in the righteous seat, but they were against our Father. Their teachings were totally against our Father's teaching as well as Yahushua's teachings. It was against the prophets of Old Covenant, and it was against the apostles of New Covenant. Today, those who come out to teach the truth about this, those of the scribes and the Pharisees, the serpent seed, whatever you want to call them, that's your choice, but they will tell you, no, this is what this means, because all they can do is give you the flesh message. They will give you four powers of authority. That's of the flesh if you read it that way, but if you're operating out the spirit and understand, there are only three powers of authority because there's only one mediator between the people and our Father. Let's go a little further. Let's read 52 one more time. I'm going to read 51 and keep going. Yahushua said unto them, have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, yea, Yahushua. 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass, when Yahushua had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom, and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? I don't even want to read that. Never mind. That's as far as I need to go on that, family. Because you see, when we talk about this enemy planting a seed, many people are looking at the physical. Well, we know that children are sometimes defined as that word seed. And then they'll look at the man's sperm as the seed, and they tell you they have to rebuild a nation. And when they're talking about the seed, but what our Father, who is spiritual, and what his Son, who is spiritual, was talking about was the spirit. ye shall know them by their fruit. If they're not speaking the same language as Yahushua was when he walked upon this earth, he would tell them, as well as you, if you don't understand, why can't you understand my speech? See, through the setup of our spirit, you should be able to understand this. Why can't you understand what's obviously truth in the scriptures? The book is flesh, the words are flesh, but we're reading in the spirit. What you have, might have always received was, well, it says da-da-da-da-da. Well, yeah, but that's of the flesh. Anybody can read that. Any goyim can read that. But they don't have the spiritual truth of our Father, because we can properly precept it probably 60 different ways for you. And for sake of time, I don't do that. But I probably could for you if you gave me the time and you didn't fall asleep on me. I can go many places. But let's just go somewhere else. Understand, what that enemy planted was a spirit, but it was not sent from above. And we, as the word says, the Father knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb, inside of this vessel of skin and flesh and blood. The spirit is what the Father gave to us. So the enemy, he planted something there too. Not that he planted a vessel of flesh. No, he planted a spirit, but it was not the spirit from our Father. So now you have the wheat and the tare growing together. They look just alike. They come from two Hebrew parents, serpent, one's sent from the Father. This is what happened to Cain. On the flesh-wise, we look at Genesis chapter 3 and then go to Genesis chapter 4, and we understand that, yes, Cain and Abel both came from Adam and Eve of the flesh. But we're not dealing with the flesh. We're talking about what was inside those vessels. Well, the spirit of the Most High was in Abel, but it was not in Cain. He was the seed of the serpent, as Genesis 3:15 states. After, and I'm going to go there because somebody needs to hear it. But before I go there, I don't want to go too far ahead of myself. I pray I'm not losing anyone. Remember, we're talking about this seed being a spirit. The Father also speaks of that. He talks about our bodies being vessels, and then we understand that the seed or the spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking spiritual things. So when we go to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, it tells us, Paul said, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the set apart Spirit which is in you, which ye have of Yahuwah, and ye are not your own? Many people, if this is Paul's letter to the people, and first he starts it off with the question, what? Because he had read their understanding, and he says, what? He's telling them, know ye not that your body is a temple of the set-apart Spirit which is in you? You see, he was talking to the congregations out there. When he went to Corinth, or when he went to Ephesus or Ephesians or whatever you want to call it, when he went to these different places and talking to the people, they had heard the flesh message given by the scribes and the Pharisees, the serpent seed that can be brought all the way back to Genesis chapter 4, the birth of Cain. Cain, his spirit wasn't right, but his spirit was of the devil, according to John 8. Adam and Eve would be the parable of the wheat and tare. While the wheat slept, the enemy came in and planted a seed that he had sex with Eve, although the words, if you look them up, those words do imply sex. But I believe that was for your understanding. What happened was she had two children spiritually. Only one was sent from above. Physically, both of them had flesh that were made from Adam and Eve. We're not talking flesh, we're talking spirit. So we understand that our bodies are the temples which incorporate or house the spirits that Genesis chapter 2, the ones that were created in the image of their creator, and that was man or Adam and Eve. That's all that is, family. Now, Yahuwah planted us, these spirits, within vessels. We're going to find out when we go to Jeremiah 2, verse 21, in case you've never heard these verses. It says in Jeremiah, yet I planted thee a noble vine, a holy, a right seed. The Father says that. But then he talks about, how then art thou turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Because our people start worshiping idols. An ox knows his owner, asses must a crib. But the children of Israel, they start turning to idol worship and worshiping other gods and making golden calves their gods, their fathers, instead of worshiping our Father. But he planted a seed because we were with him before we were formed in this vessel of flesh. We're the only ones who can make claim to that. We, the children of the Most High, those spiritual beings. We know this because in one verse prior, Yahuwah says, I read to you Jeremiah 2, verse 21, where he said that he planted us. But when you go to Jeremiah 1, verse 5, it says, before I knew thee in the belly, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Go back to Genesis chapter 2 for the seventh day creation and look up those words. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Sanctified day, set apart day, blessed. All these days go around his people. The Shabbat, that goes around just his people. You can't say the mankind and whatever, or whatever. You can't say that the Shabbat's for them. And with the understanding, you will also say that really the Shabbat's not meant for the serpent seed, because no leaven is to be found in your temple. We did this lesson, I think, two lessons prior, and I got to still rename it. It was the third of thy sons and so forth, but I got to retitle. I just, every time I try to get on Blog Talk, I get booted out, so it's hard for me to change the titles like I need to. But it was dealing with an acceptable Passover. We explained that, how the Shabbat, the day of the Lord, as the Bible reads, how all this is still talking about our vessels, and we worship our Father in truth without leaven 7 days a week. There's only 7 days to a week, family, so that's all the time. We don't have any leaven in our household. Somebody else has a lot of leaven, and they have taught you a lie. Let's go on a little further. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to take you guys there. I think half my notes got, I think they did. Yeah, they did get deleted. That's okay. I don't want to go there. I want to go somewhere else first. Let me see. Yeah, my notes got deleted. Isn't that something? Okay, whatever. I'll just go where I wanted to go with you guys, and I'll have to find what I need. I'm going to take you guys first to Genesis chapter 3. I want to just kind of like get that understanding a little bit better about who crept in unaware. See, it crept in unaware because if you're looking at the flesh, you say, well, those children both Cain and both Abel, belong to Adam and Eve. Because the outside, that's their children. But spiritually, what crept in was the spirit that was not sent from our Father. So when we go and start reading Genesis, we get a little better understanding, really, what is Genesis 3 speaking of? Because I don't think anybody's getting this. I want to read something to you. And this might be something new for some of you, but I really haven't. The Father just gave me all this information today. I put it in the Father's hand. I laid down. I said, Father, you lead me and guide me to your truths. So I'm going to take you some places. You may have never heard this before, but you can read it. It's right there. And if you know our history book, if you are reading and studying to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word. Not taking a precept here, take a little leaven there with that precept, take that leaven, go here and there, and make a whole different understanding for the Father's word. But if you are studying to show yourself approved to our Father, not to man, and rightly dividing the word, and thinking spiritually, you should get all this, okay? So, we read that the serpent deceived Eve, or properly spoken, Adam and Eve. Yahuwah's placed future judgment on the serpent, on Adam and Eve. He also stated a prophecy that can be read about in Genesis 3:16 and precept throughout the entire scripture. I want to take you back 2, Genesis 3, and I want to read verses 9 through 19. Okay? Because, really, we always hear about the curses of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. We always have assumed, because that's what a serpent see has always started the curses, because it is in Scripture. No doubt it's there. Anytime we were in disobedience, you go to Deuteronomy 28, you start reading, he talks about all the blessings. But if you do not hearken to me, if you do not obey, then all these curses shall follow. You have the same telling both in Deuteronomy 28 as well as Leviticus 26, and all the Hebrews understand that as the curses, the blessing and the curses. But little did they know, if you really are reading, spiritually understanding Genesis 3, you get them there. I want to show you, family. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 9 through 19. We're going to hear about the curses that were placed upon the serpent, Adam, and Eve. And this will take you all the way through the Scripture. This should take you all the way through the Old Covenant. This will take you even surpass after Yahushua came, because our people weren't ready still. But they have to be ready in this end time. But these are the curses that are on our people. Check it out, family. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. I'm going to begin there. Open up your Hebrew history book, and let's get some understanding about these curses. Yahuwah called Adam. Now, remember, this was after they partook of the tree that Adam was told not to partake of. Eve knew about it because she had the same DNA matter he had, spirit and everything as his kind, just like the male and the female were after their kind, and the animals in Genesis chapter 1 were after their kind. Well, day 7 creation had his own kind as well. So everything he had, she had. Don't let anyone tell you that the woman does not have a set-apart spirit, because that is a lie straight from the pit of hell, okay? That is not of our Father. Let's read. Here's what our Father says unto Adam in verse 9. Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And Yahuwah said, Who told thou that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And Yahuwah said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Verse 14, And the Most High said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thy go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. The first cursing went on the serpent. Let's keep going. Then he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's still talking to the serpent. He says, I will put enmity or hatred between thee, serpent, and the woman, which is Israel, and between thy seed, serpent, and her seed. We know the woman represents Israel, because Adam and Eve, if you go back to the beginning, well, Eve's name's not in there only because they didn't put the woman's name in there, but by right, she still had the spirit. You can go all the way in the New Covenant in Matthew and Luke and find all the way from Adam all the way to Yahushua. These are your spirit beings. They were in the image of their creator. So he's letting you know, serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. I'm going to put enmity between you and Israel. Because see, all Israel will be saved. The woman will be saved. Catch these words, family. Israel is of Israel, because they got serpent seed right amongst them. But the woman shall be saved in childbirth. But the woman shall be saved in tribulation. But Israel will be saved in tribulation. I pray y'all getting what I'm saying. So he says, I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. and between thy, and it says, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, twofold, both prophecy and curses for Israel, the woman and the man. Check it out. 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conceptions. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. This was a curse for disobedience. Yes, it was a curse, but it was also a future prophecy of what was going to happen in the very end. That I've done a lesson on this, and I've given all the precepts for. And just look up the lesson that we did, the precepts. I have it in both in video form as well as a lesson. It's called The Precepts of Genesis 3:16. You will find out that for this man to rule over this woman would be a curse. It was a curse for disobedience. For disobedience. The man, if you catch a man trying to rule over his woman, that is a curse for disobedience. But it's also future prophecy if you understand what happened to our people and understand that the woman is Israel. Now, I will take you to 17 and check it out. Pay attention. And unto Adam, our father says, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, there's something physical that has to go on, but a spiritual understanding is given there as well, just as in Genesis 3:16. You have physical, yeah, during childbirth, it is a horrible situation. Many people who had kids know that pain. But still, there's a spiritual undertone. You got to operate out the spirit too. But because they didn't obey Yahuwah, they broke his commandment. He told them, don't partake of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Both of them sinned. Both of them got kicked out. Both of them, flesh was put on. Let's pay attention to what he says to Adam in verse 17 of Genesis chapter 3. And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, that's just another way of saying, because you didn't hearken to me. Now, he threw it this way, not thinking that our people who are thinking spiritual are going to always blame this woman. He put it that way because he's given us a lesson about Adam and Eve. So he kept it like that. But you're supposed to understand, wait a minute. When you go back to Genesis chapter 2, Adam was the only one that knew not to partake of that tree. When you get to Genesis 3, it never said nothing about Eve being told that. But in spiritual understanding, you know she had everything he had. So he says, and unto Adam, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, or because you have not hearkened to me, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Family, all this is curses. And it goes into, yes, a physical, but there's a spiritual undertone because all Israel today, look at us, we're all in the flesh, and we all have to sweat for our food. Everything that we need, we have to work and sweat by our brow to receive it. This is not just talking about this man, this woman. It goes beyond that because really all this is about Israel. The Father tells you, I changed not, and he never made a division between the men and the women. But those who can only read of the flesh will say, see, childbirth, woman, and now this man going to rule over you. And Adam, you're the only one sweating. Well, baby, I like to say, I'm going to prove the Father to be true to his word with the spiritual understanding. I have sweated for everything that I've gotten on this earth. And many of you can say the same thing. Many of you can say, well, verses 17, 18, and 19, shoot. I'm a woman, and that pertains to me too. Men will say, I know that pertains to me, because it was about Israel. But The serpent has told you flesh. Think flesh. Always flesh. Come on. Flesh, flesh. Adam, the man, woman. Ah. Family, our father ain't pleased with this studying. He's not pleased with you learning under a scribe and a Pharisee when he sent his only begotten son. And when his son was on his earth, he let you know the scribes and the Pharisees are sitting in Moses' seat. They're not supposed to be there. And then he later calls these same scribes and Pharisees. He says, "Whoa, ye scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're blocking the way of the kingdom for the children and making them more children of hell than yourselves." Later he tells them, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." Both John the Baptist as well as Yahushua called them vipers. Yahushua said, "You generation of vipers." They've always been with Israel, because all Israel will be saved, but not all Israel is of Israel. Now, when we take a look at the giants, I got to go to the giants for a second. I won't leave the giants out, but I had to give you some understanding about that spiritual understanding about the serpent seed. They're right here now. "Ye shall know them by their fruit." And if you're really studying and reading, properly dividing the word, you can catch the lies of the flesh. They say, "I'm spiritual." They say, "I love Yahuwah or Yahweh or whatever." Some say, "I still love Jesus and God." They say all this. They read out the same book we open and read. But they have perverted the truth. They give you the flesh understanding instead of the spiritual ones. These look just like Israel. This is Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 that claim to be Judah. But they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. They're the children of the devil. That's what that is, because our bodies are just vessels. The synagogue Yahushua was talking about rebuilding was his body. So they are the embodiment of the devil. What dwells in their vessel is a spirit that crept in unaware because the devil planted it. I pray you have understanding. Let's get back to the creation, which is known as mankind. I'm not going to read it per se, but I'm going to go through it with you. When you get to understand that the giants that were being spoken of in Genesis 6, and it says they were there before and after the flood, these giants that were created by it's really no difference. And I don't like to even go that way because I'm coming across some new information, but what I will say is the scripture says there was giants there before and after the flood. We know that later, when we read in Scripture, from the time we left Egypt, and we were under Moses, and we were under Joshua, and we got into the land, we find out that they used giants for what was in that land. Later, they changed up the word to inhabitants, and they called them nations and peoples. But if you believe that the giant being spoken of as a jolly green giant, or that he was so tall because of those words they put in there as grasshoppers, I mean, you're not really reading the scripture. Why is it that what King Solomon mirrored were those giants in the land? They had to be regular people. Because remember, the words, the image was just an image without the set apart spirit. They're known as nations. By the time you get to Judges 2, and we were supposed to get the giants, by then they called them nations off the land, and we didn't. Go to Judges 2 and read it. It tells us the Father came and said, "Because you have not hearkened unto me, I will no longer drive these nations from among you, but I will leave them there to try you, to prove you, to chastise you, to reprove you, to see if you're going to hearken to me or obey me or them." And he never got rid of them altogether, all the ones that Joshua left behind. He never removed those nations from the people. They've always been with us. Because even though we look at Noah, Noah had three sons. Only one was called, one was chosen, one was sent from above, and that was Shem. Where did the spirits come in for Japheth and for Ham? Well, according to the scripture, of the parable of the wheat and tares, which Yahushua, your future king, wanted you to know, the enemy crept in. That enemy was to plant a seed. And when the scriptures tell us the children of the flesh war against the children of the spirit, and while we're children of the spirit that dwell in flesh, we war against our flesh as well. But all he's talking about is anyone who does not have the set apart spirit, they're living out of the flesh. The other nations were never given the set apart spirit. Never given the set apart spirit. They're children of the flesh. They have a different spirit, but it didn't come from our Father. They fall in the same line with the ones who were never given the spirit or the breath of life in Genesis chapter 1, called male and female, which is mankind. Serpent seed, he is not included within Genesis 5 because he did not have a set apart spirit. So when we look at Noah and his three sons, only one was called, and that was Shem. The other two would have been considered. Anybody get it? What would they have been considered? Well, according to our Father's word, they would have been considered giants, or the other nations, or the Goyim. All the same word, inhabitants. They're called many different words, peoples. But they were not called, and they were not sent from above. How did the giants get in? Well, after the flood, only one seed was called. The enemy came in and planted two seeds through Noah's family. Only Noah and his son, Shem, was called. That's how the giants or the nations made it across the flood. That's how they made it across the flood. Now, as far as the serpent seed, I mean, I could take you guys many places. I don't have time for that. I've talked about it in other lessons. I don't have time to take you too many places, but I'm going to give you a thorough understanding because some people still don't get it. When we talk about serpent seed, we're not talking about a serpent. We are talking about what looks just like Israel. According to Revelations 2:9 and 3:9, they call themselves Judah. They say they're from Judah, but they are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. When Yahushua made it a point to let you know in the new covenant about these children of the flesh, about those who sit in Moses' seat and lead the people to error, they've been leading our people to error through the old covenant. We hear about it all the time. In Isaiah it says, those that lead thee to error cause thee, it says, children are your oppressors and women rule over you. Those words are not talking about a woman or a child. It says, they that lead you cause you to err. And this was during the time of Isaiah prophesying in the book of Kings. What he was talking about, who was leading the people? Well, there were certain men crept in awares, and they did the will of their father. They built the temples. They want to kill the prophets. They persuaded the people through sleight of tongue, very crafty. They've always been there. They were the ones who built the golden calf when we came out of Egypt. Now, I'm going to go there because many of you don't get it. But it's recorded in other books in the scriptures, what is being spoken of. Let's go a couple places. I just want you guys to have the understanding that many people say, oh, well, the Father put the curse on the woman. What did he put the curse on Israel for in the flesh and in the spirit, if you want to call it that, because all it is really the same thing. He letting us know, just like every other time, if you do not obey, according to Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, all these curses are going to come upon you. Right here he says the same thing, that you will be under a curse. You will be under, it says, until the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conceptions. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and they shall be, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Because in the beginning, the Father never made for man to rule over the woman. That, no, she came out of his rib, his side. She was a helpmeet. She was a companion. That's all she was for him. He was not to rule over her. Just like the children of Israel, when we get to the new covenant, the Father has gathered all his children. They're all parts, many members of the same body. It says that when a man leaves his mother and his father, he cleaves to that woman and both flesh are one. It was no division. But since you didn't listen, this is going to overtake you right here. specifically if you're going to go spiritual, which you should go spiritual. That's why I'm trying to show you that for someone to go tell you now that this man has to rule over the woman, that's not the, that wasn't the program of the Father. That's the program of those who are in disobedience. That's why Yahushua said they put burdens on you and they won't lift them. Because they'll go all over with this 11, even to Genesis, and tell you, see, woman, you got to submit. And that's not what the word's saying. What the word's saying is, because you guys have disobeyed, you're going to be sweating when you work. Everything you're going to need is going to be sweat. And your children, thy conceptions, if you listen to the lesson we did with, I think it was in Isaiah, we went through all the scriptures showing you that was Israel. All this, these curses, that was Israel's curse. And Genesis 3:16 is prophecy. Unto the woman, unto Israel, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conceptions. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's talking about the man who all the seven assemblies in Isaiah 4 want to take his name. It's also speaking about the one that we will rule with him, but over the nations, but he will rule over us in the kingdom. That's talking about Yahushua, that man, that husband, the betrothed. Now, we're going to go a little further with this. I want to make sure that everybody's getting it. Now, in Genesis 4, remember that our bodies are just vessels or images. But what seed is planted within makes you a seed of Yahuwah. Now, I'm going to read a little bit. I'm going to go here and there. I'm going to go all over with this. I just want to get some understanding. It tells us in verse 1 of Genesis 4, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now, I leave that word Lord in there because you go back and look up certain words, it's still not speaking about our Father. They put the word Lord in there, but many times, and they won't connect everything clear for you, but if you have understanding what the children of Israel were doing when they sinned against our Father, they went, go back to the book of Judges 2, they start serving Balaam and Ashtoreth. Balaam is Lord. Ashtoreth is Mary, the Queen of Heaven. Just like you see today, there's nothing new underneath the sun. So this man, he came from the Lord. Well, the Lord is the God of this world. Satan is the devil, is that old beast, is a dragon. It's all the same word, family, no biggie. But anyhow, she says that she got Cain from Balaam, actually. Wasn't from our Father, because we're talking spirit here. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass. Remember, let them grow together. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Remember, this was a cursed ground. And offered unto Most High. And Abel, he also bought of the firstling of his flock. Okay, the fat thereof. And Yahuwah had respect unto Abel and his offerings, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. Remember, it says that our Father is not a respecter of person, but for Cain or his offering, he had no respect. What's wrong with that picture? But the Father says, I change not. That's letting you know more is there. More understanding is needed. Pay attention. Now, Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell when he saw that his offering was not approved of the Most High. The same offerings or the same works is spoke about in Revelations and in New Covenant. It's spoken about in Old Covenant. That's why we were considered a harlot, because of our works and our offerings. Okay? This lineage of Cain has always been with the Israelites. Let's go a little further. Yahuwah said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dostest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If you do good, I'll accept you. And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desires, and thou shalt rule over him. Because we're talking a spiritual thing that happened. If you open yourself up to sin, sin will rule over you. Sin is related with what? The devil. Well, I'm going to show you what I mean by that, because I'll read it for you. The skin is ever sinful. They operate through the flesh, through the sin of the flesh. The lust is of the flesh, of the sin. It's all sinful. But we were spirits that were covered by flesh. We're supposed to operate out of the inner man, take off the outer man, the flesh, not peeling your skin off, but operate out the spirit. So let's pay attention. The Most High tells Cain in verse 8, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Most High said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, we know in New Covenant we're supposed to be our brother's keeper. We know that the Father is not a respecter of persons. But with Cain, he respected not Cain, not his offering, not his works. And Cain let you know, I'm not my brother's keeper. Let's not get it screwed up here. Let's go a little bit further. In verse 10, "And Cain said," "and the Most High said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Most High, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." Check it out what he says. "And the Most High said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Most High set a mark upon Cain." This is the same mark of the beast that you can read about, the 666 mark. This is this mark that's set upon Cain. The Father let us know that something crept in unawares. It was made known by his murderous act what he was and what the act he did was, but the Father covered that so that all you see is something that looked just like you. Because the Father didn't want everybody to slay Cain. Because his spirit is evil. It's like you could see a possessed man walking around. Oh, we know that's not the Father. Well, he covered it so that it would be right with the people. And you would have to test the fruit. This mark is on you. In the end time, that mark is spiritual. Either you're marked by the Father in your between your eyelids or your forehead, or you got the mark of the beast, which means you got the same mark as a spiritual mark. Only the angels will be able to see those tears. But the mark also is in their right hand because of their works. Let's get a little further. "And Cain said unto the Most High, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid." He has no connection with our Father. He doesn't. He don't have any understanding. He's of the flesh. "And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Most High said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." Got to leave that for the angels. Let them grow together and let the angels take care of that. "And Yahuwah set a mark upon Cain, lest any fighting him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of our father and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." I just want to take everybody to 25. We know that's where he found his wife, okay? When you keep reading Genesis chapter 4. By the time you get to 25, it says, "And Adam knew his wife again. So they had some sexual union. And she bare a son and called his name Seth. For Yahuwah," she said, "hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel." The seed was the spirit. The vessel was Abel, the skin, but the seed was from Yahuwah. Eve said, after Adam and Eve had their sex, and she bare a son and called his name Seth, she said, "The Most High hath appointed me another spirit instead of Abel," another seed, "whom Cain slew. And to Seth," it says, "to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Most High." Because that spirit was there. that seed that was with Abel that Cain slew, children of the flesh against the children of the spirit. Well, the Most High appointed another one. Cain didn't have the spirit, but the Most High appointed Seth. And this spirit once again put us back in line again. This spirit made the children of Israel begin to call upon the name of the Most High. Many read about the serpent seed and don't understand who they are and how they crept in. I want to take you guys to the book of Jude. I want to take you guys to the book of Jude real quick. And Jude only has one book, so you know I'm reading out of Jude 1. Many times when people who teach of the flesh read this, they'll tell you about angels and all that. Well, you're going to really read, and I'm going to give you some precepts, which if you're reading your scriptures, I mean, many of us came out of Christianity, we knew more truth than we know as a Hebrew, some of us. Some of us understood that when we talk about the Most High's people, he was talking about the men and the women. Somehow you get into being a Hebrew, and now there's a big separation. We have about 90 seconds, family, 90 seconds. I'm going to go to the book of Jude next. I don't have much more to teach on this, but a little bit more because I want to bring some more precepts and understanding. Uh-oh. Let me see. Okay. Sister Phoenicia, I'm asked that you do not type anything else for the fact that I'm trying to teach here. Okay? I'm teaching right now. I really don't want any other teachers on when I'm teaching, or I'll put away with the chat line from now on. Okay, thank you so much, sister. I appreciate it. Anybody wanting to wish to call in, number 646-595-4111. I'm going to repeat it. Call in 646-595-4111. And just, I got a little time here. Let me just state this. See, family, when I'm teaching, if you're here to learn, you're to be quiet. Unless there's a question for me, you're to be quiet. You do not disrespect the teacher and come on to my chat line and write up a whole nother lesson while I'm teaching. Now, I don't think I have to tell anybody that, but we will have order in my chat room. We will have order in my chat room. You will give me the same respect that the Word says you must give those who study to show themselves true. So just to let everybody know from now on, I don't want to find that happening again on my chat line, okay? If you don't believe in what I'm teaching, which is reading the Father's Word, please do not come to my chat room, period. I'm praying that I don't have to say nothing about this now. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close up my chat line. I thank everyone who has come out on the chat line. We're getting ready to get switched over to the phone line. I have callers. I'm going to take it a little further, but family, it's about learning the truth. Many don't want this truth to be out. Many will go to the extra biblical books or whatever learning of the flesh that they have learned, every bit of doctrine that comes by, and try to prove something else. But I can find holes in everything they're going to bring up because I didn't hurt them. And how do I know? Because the Father told me. That I can tell you. The Father told me. I don't take the Father's word lightly. The Father told me. Okay? So, I mean, there's a lot of people want to go here and there with all this doctrine of the flesh. Keep it away from me because, you know, I'm not trying to embarrass anyone, but when it comes to telling the truth of our Father's word, I will put that scripture on you. I'm going to have to put the scripture on you. And let every man be a liar but our Father. His word is true. So I'm going to go ahead at this time before I go to the book of Jude. I see some hands up. I'm just going to check and see if anyone wanted to comment. Okay, I'm opening up my first mic. Area code 305, Shalom. 305, are you there? Okay, I'm putting you back on park. Probably just an accident. I got another caller in queue. I'm going to pull you up right now. Area code 912, Shalom. Hello? Okay, I guess you guys accidentally had your hands up.
Hello?
Go ahead and put you back. Okay, hold up. I have to, yes. 912, did you have something you want to say?
No, Sister Georgia, how you doing?
Hi, who's this?
This is Brother Jerome. Actually, I just got on. I thought it started at 7 o'clock.
Oh, okay, brother. Well, it's 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, my time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Your clock is wrong. Okay.
Driving in his truck had me in different time zones, and I forgot. So
that's
I apologize.
All right. Mm. Gave me a time to take a sip. No problem, brother. I'm going to put you back on park so I can finish the lesson, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
All right, family. Let's go over to the book of Jude. Book of Jude. Jude chapter 1. Let's find out about, we read about how the enemy crept in unawares in the parable of the wheat and tare. Now we understand how the serpent got here, and even the children after the flood, they were known as giants. Well, those were your nations. But they came through our people. But why is it that Esau is from a different nation than Jacob? Well, something crept in unawares. And Esau was not considered a Hebrew. When Isaac and Ishmael were born, Ishmael was not considered a Hebrew. These were actual children from Hebrew men and sometimes Hebrew women put together. But one child will be a Hebrew, one child will not be. One child is called, one child is not. One child has a set apart spirit from our father, and the other one spirit didn't come from our father. If they're not called, if they're not chosen, if they're not sent from above, regardless of that Hebrew vessel, they either are not the fathers or they are the fathers. Yahushua said, I'm going to come in and separate in the family. When he was telling you about the scribes and the Pharisees and all those who sat in Moses' seat teaching lies and persuading or teaching our people in an error, the same ones who were generation of the ones who killed the prophets, which when we go back to the lying scribes and Pharisees and we go back to the lying prophets and so forth, and many of the kings of Israel and some of the ones of Judah, we see that they were in positions of power where they led the people astray. The people followed after their king, which they wanted. But these didn't have the heart or the spirit, shall I say, of our father Yahuwah, although they came from a Hebrew that was called. This one wasn't good, but that one was good. That's all it is, family. It's a spiritual thing. Our father says he can raise up children from stone. The reason why he says that is because our bodies are vessels, just as a stone has the vessel of that body. But it doesn't matter about the body. Don't worry about the body or he who kills the body, but you better worry about he who killed that body and that spirit, because it's all about the spirit. Now let's go to Jude chapter 1. In Jude chapter 1, like I said, many people just teach all of this is talking about angels and just evil people. But no, if you're following along with the scripture, you should be able to pick this up. In the book of Jude, chapter 1, the only book there, it tells us, verse 1, Jude, the servant of Yahushua and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by our Father and preserved in Yahushua and called. That brings us right back to Adam's lineage and everyone who fell underneath the set-apart spirit that was born of Adam and Eve. So it tells us, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now check it out. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, Jude is writing to the northern kingdom. He's talking about this common salvation because before the remnant and the Father always put his let's put it like this. The promise and everything were given to Jacob, but many of Jacob split after King Solomon. And you find that the covenant was made to the southern kingdom, which was Judah. And he had cast away the northern kingdom, and really they never got regathered. Not in this earth time. They never got regathered. But through the death, burial, and resurrection, the shedding of Yahushua's blood and so forth, we as a nation are healed. Spiritually, we can come back together. But physically, we're not all in the same spot. And during the time of Yahushua, it was only Jerusalem and what they called Judah, which was the southern kingdom there. So we hear he's telling us, beloved, when I gave all diligent to write you, just like Paul wrote epistles, of this common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. The reason why he says that, family, he says in Jude 1, verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares. By the physical sight, they look like you, but they're really not of you. All Israel will be saved, but all Israel's not of Israel. When the wheat slept, the enemy came in, who was the devil. He planted his seed. But, hey, let them grow together, because the angels are going to separate those in the end time, in the harvesting time. Now, it tells in Revelations 2:9 and 3:9 that they claim to be us. They look just like us. Remember that lamb that spoke like the dragon? Well, looked like a lamb but spoke like a dragon against the Father. Remember, the word Antichrist, devil, and all, it's all speaking about the same thing, serpent seed, because we're talking about real people here. But we have to bring it to your remembrance, as Jude would tell you, because for there are certain men, certain people crept in unawares. You will not suspect these people. They look just like you. They're holding the book. They're saying, I'm Judah. They're quoting the law of Old Covenant. They're doing a bunch of things. They're taking everything in the letters and saying these are confirmation for their lies, for their leaven. They're leavening up the whole book. They're teaching you that you got to do something to save yourself. When our Father says, wait on me. Wait on me. He said, don't make my spiritual arm into a flesh arm for salvation. Don't do that. But somebody's telling you otherwise. So he says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Unrighteous men turned the grace of Yahuwah into lavishness, and deny the only Father and our brethren Yahushua. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that Yahuwah, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards he destroyed them that believed not. It's a spiritual thing, family. Either you believe in the truth or you love the lie. You have an evil heart to start off with. The evil ones like to follow wickedness. But if you follow wickedness, which is of the flesh, you're not our fathers. You're not a son of the Most High. Okay? So he says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that Yahuwah, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards he destroyed them that believed not. The leader said, hey, let's build a golden calf because Moses ain't coming down. Serpent seed was with us. By the time you get to Jeroboam and Rehoboam, Jeroboam said, hey, let's take the same day that the children of Israel are doing in, and these were the children of the southern kingdom. They were in Jerusalem. They were doing the same days as feast days. Let's do our own here. That's what the northern kingdom said. Let's build an altar. Take two golden calves this time. Let's get two of them suckers. Let's get some high groves going on here. Let's do it up, right? Let's party. But it wasn't according to our Father. Tell you today, you got to wear this tassel. Hey, you got to flee because the Father can't save you where you are. And the tribe of Judah's in America, so you know America ain't going down by itself. When the Father come, it's going to hit everywhere the Hebrews are scattered, but they're going to tell you got to flee to this one part. No, it's going everywhere. There's no way you can hide from the Father unless you think you're more than him, unless you have made yourself a god, unless you have depended on sinful flesh for your covering that will tell you a lie. I'm going to deal with our Father. Our Father says there's only one mediator between the people and me, and that's my son Yahushua. That's the bridegroom. So let's just read what they say about these who have crept in unaware. He says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that Yahuwah, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate. Now remember, if we're talking that our bodies, our vessels, our estates, our houses, It's a housing unit. And we are, the word says that, don't you know that you are gods, which is angels? Get an understanding, family. He said, but the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. The fornication being spoken of in Scripture is idol worshiping, worshiping other deities, not serving our Father, not celebrating spiritual thanksgiving to him, because when he gave us of the flesh, we didn't do it. We started worshiping deities, things that look like men, four-foot beasts. He says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, now he can bring you from old covenant to new covenant. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, despise order, and speak evil of the Father's people, the dignitaries. Every time the Most High would send somebody like Moses, certain people came against Moses. He put Joshua in there. Certain people came against Joshua. He put his apostles. Certain people came against his apostles, his prophets. Even me, when I speak this truth. It's evident today, family. I don't know if you're paying attention. I hope you are. He says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. It tells you, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, but they eventually got that seat, right? They got the body of Moses. They got the seat of Moses. It says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a rallying accusation, but said, Most High rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. They don't have the spirit, family. And when we give you the truth that is not talking about a man or a woman, they want to tell you, I'm a witch, I'm a Jezebel. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. When you have the Spirit, it leads you and guides you and directs you into all the truth of our Father, which is spiritual. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally are in the flesh as brute beast. In those things, they corrupt themselves. They don't have the Spirit, but they only look with the eyes of the flesh and the minds, the corrupted mind of this world, and that's all they can give you. It says the woman ought not flee Babylon, which is America. They make all this leaven pop up. It's not in the word, but you might believe it to be so. It says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally in the flesh as brute beasts, and those things that corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now, we just talked about Cain. Their spirit was not sent from the Most High. All they can give you is of the flesh. They don't have any connection with the Spirit. They're not operating in the Spirit, those who leave the Father's side to follow them. That's why the Father said, I will, in, what is it, Ezekiel 13 or 17, he's talking about people use it as the flyaway doctrine. He ain't talking about no flyaway doctrine as far as left behind and all that stuff. Oh, you're going to get taken out first, then you're going to come. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about these same scribes and Pharisees are out here teaching the people how to fly. This is your salvation. Do this. If you wear garments on, if the woman humble herself, if the man take lead of the household, if they do these feast days, if you do everything's of works. You go on somebody else's lot to help them clean and fix and do all kind of works to help them with their vision. The only works we're supposed to be doing is all spiritual. What do you think Revelations is talking about, that filthy work that was done and is still being done today? Because Yahushua did away with all the burdens and everything that these men were putting on you by giving you the spirit whereby you can get the truth. But many reject the truth, the spirit, and they go after the flesh, the works. It says, let me go there. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Lord or Balaam for reward and perish in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity. Because they got you doing something else. The Father, go read Isaiah chapter 1 and go back to Isaiah 66 to get some understanding about these. He said, do away with that stuff. They got you doing it even today. These are the spots in your feast of charity. With that, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. They have no fear. The Father says, you better hearken to me. They have no fear in what they tell you. Listen, it says, with feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit wither, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, wandering angels, wandering fallen angels, could it be? But who are the fallen angels? Who was cast down in Revelations? Who was cast down out of the garden? We're talking about men here, people. We're not talking about fallen angels. Check it out, family. It says, verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these things, saying, behold, the Most High cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Now, verse 14 gives you a timeline. It said that Enoch, he was seventh from Adam. When you go back in Genesis 5 and count back, you're not going to get seven. The number's off. One person's missing. Well, we know Cain wasn't in a genealogy of Adam, but he was still alive. But he didn't have the spirit. He was never supposed to be in Genesis chapter 5 as the sons of the Most High. But righteous Abel was. That's why that seed, that spirit, had to come through Seth. And now you see Seth's name in there. But Abel, his name's not in there because it's a lineage line of births. So he was gone. It was no birth form. Okay, just pointing that out to those who need to know. He said, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, saying, behold, Yahuwah come with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that the unrighteous among them of all their unrighteous deeds which they have unrighteously committed and of all their hard speeches which unrighteously sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. You got to be in the flesh to do this stuff, family. Think about it. And their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. When you look at the word, if they're operating out of naturally what they see as brute beasts, they're operating out the flesh. They don't have the spirit. They know not our Father. And then this is their advantage, as spoken of in verse 16. These are your murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Oh, woman, submit yourself. Seven women, one man. Men can have many wives, and the men own the women. The women, you never own a man. And in order for you to get into the kingdom, my sinful flesh as a man got to cover you. Now you got salvation. Come on, please. Do not hear serpent. The Father says there's three. And Yahushua's over us. If you think of the flesh, you got four powers of authority. And that's what these people are doing. That's what you hear every day. But if you're in the spirit, there's only three powers of authority. And I can prove that left and right in the book. But some people like evilness. So, you know, you pick which one you want to listen to, men, or you want to follow our Father. So it talks about this. It says, verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Redeemer Yahushua, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own unrighteous lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, having not the Spirit, having not the Spirit. In order to be a son of the Most High, you got to have the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most set apart faith, praying in the Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of our Father, looking for the mercy of Yahushua unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others having, or excuse me, and others save with fear. When I come with you with the word, I'm reading you the word. Now, you could fear man or fear the Father. I'd rather fear our Father, respect him, and listen to him. 23, some are going to be saved, but it says, and others save with fear, because the truth scares them. They don't want to, let me seek the Father. They get pulled out of that mess instantly, pulling them out of the fire, hating even their garments spotted of the flesh. Your spiritual garment is not going to be spotted with that flesh thinking, because we're operating 100% spirit, flesh on, but we have taken off the old man and put on the new man. But with those who never had to set apart spirit, the other nations, if they pull up their flesh, there still ain't nothing there. Serpent seed, their spirit did not come from our Father. It came from the devil. And those who follow them will be ashamed. Their garments are spiritual garments, their spiritual body. Their wedding garments will not be ready. You got to have the Spirit, because no flesh and blood is going to enter into that kingdom. You can't bring all the goyim who don't have a spirit. You can't bring the serpent seed who are not of our Father. And those who be led astray, if you are the Father's, the word said he's going to send fishers and hunters after you, and prayfully you'll hear the truth. But we know many won't. So I pray, if you are under one of these scribes, these Pharisees, these serpent seeds, or these freaking nations of giants, these other goyim, that you come and hearken yourself to the Father's truth while there's time, and get the truth and embrace the truth and be in good foundation. No matter what wind of doctrine come your way, you know the truth because you're reading it. You're reading it. To him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory and exceeding joy, to the only wise Father, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Hallelujah. When you go to, family, I got much, much more, but I know I don't have time to get into all that, so I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to leave it there. But read Galatians 3. That's something for you guys to do. Read Galatians 3. Make sure you read it. Understand, family, we're talking about spirit versus flesh. We are children of the Spirit wrapped in flesh. We are told to take off the flesh and put on the new man, which is the Spirit. The children before and after the flood, they came through vessels just like Yahushua. He was the Word and the Spirit in the beginning. And a vessel was made for him to descend down into. Don't learn the lies of this world. Get to the Father's truth. I pray this lesson has been to you edifying in the Spirit. I mean, it's up to you to want to hear the truth, or you can stay with those who want to teach you lies. I'm not going to teach you a lie. I'm going to read the Father's word, and we're going to go from there. So I pray, family, that this has been edifying to your spirit. And, you know, I probably will do a little bit more on this because I did want to cover a couple of the topics. But we've had so many lessons where we've gone over the majority of this stuff. It's just basically if you want to know the truth. I'm trying to wait for my switchboard to unfreeze here. I must see if anybody had their hands up before we get disconnected. Okay, it looked like the same two hands are up, so I'm assuming that, I don't know, I'm opening it one more time, and if you want to say something, you got a few seconds, so let me close up the pop-ups first. Okay, I don't know. I'm having a pop-up problem, and it's not closing. Okay, another pop-up. Hold on. I can't get to my switchboard. Okay, I'm going to open up the mic real quick. Oh, another pop-up. Error code 305. Shalom. Did you want to add anything? Okay. One more time. Brother Jerome, I'm going to get you open here. Okay, Brother Jerome.
Shalom.
Let's see. Shalom, brother. I keep getting pop-ups. I couldn't see your number. But, hey, brother, did you want to add anything? We got about 2 minutes.
No, ma'am. I enjoyed the show, though, Sister Georgia. Thank you.
Well, hey, I thank the Father for giving us the word, and we're going to go deeper into this. There's way more I want to cover, but I knew time would be short. Hey, brother, y'all just make sure y'all listen to the lessons. This is really a 101 basics lesson, but I couldn't put it all in the title. But this is that quick understanding, and it's just continuing on with the serpent seed. And also I had to bring up the giants because the people were trying to show how they made it over the flood. The whole thing is it came through people, but it was a spiritual understanding.
Okay, Sister George, I'm going to go over it again. When are you going to post this show?
My notes?
Yes, ma'am.
As soon as I have time. I'll try to get everything done possibly within a week. I'll try to get all the notes caught up a little bit.
Okay, that's cool.
But I appreciate you coming out and listening, brother. I really do.
Well, all the time, Sister Jordan.
Okay, well, brother, I'm going to put you back on park. Or actually, I'll just leave you open. And in case they cut us off, I'm going to try to start a song for you guys. But that's it, family. That is it. I am done. I appreciate everybody who came out to hear the Father's word. Hey, let's worship our Father in spirit and in truth. Come to him righteously, okay, family? And for those who are on our website, I'll try to get those notes out to you as soon as I can, okay? Family, I really will try. All right, shalom, family.
Your head.